This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you, Ellen. Good day and welcome everyone to the RDS Who Is To Review Team Plenary Call Number 11 on October 19th, 2017 at 12:30 UTC. In attendance today, we have Alan, Dimitri, Lily, Thomas, Stephanie, Susan, Catherine. In the observer room, today we have David and Vignesh. From ICANN organization, we have Jean-Baptiste, Brenda, Amy, Steve, Lisa, and Alice. And I'd like to remind everyone to please speak your name before speaking for the transcript. Today's call is being recorded, and I'll turn the meeting over to you, Alan. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We have a new attendee with a phone number, 626. Do we have any idea who that is?
Alan, that's Tran from ICANN.org on audio only.
Okay, thank you. All right. The first issue is to remind people about SOIs. I am now told that the optimal way of doing it, if you have not submitted your SOI and your conflict of interest statement, is to print them, sign them, scan them, and send them by email by return. So if anyone has not done that, and I am guilty as being one of those, please, it should be done before essentially by the beginning of next week. So well before people get on planes, if you're getting on planes. And let's try to get those all in. And if I could ask staff for any that have not been received by, let us say, start of business on Tuesday, if you could please send out personalized reminders. And with that, we will go to the first agenda item, and this is on the effectiveness framework, which Susan has put together. And she's going to talk us through that at this point. Susan?
Thanks, Alan. Can we get the document up on the screen for everyone to see? So just a little bit of background. Really just sort of hunted around to find something that made sense. I borrowed this from the CDC website, of all places. So, I thought it was important, and I was asked to provide some sort of definition of effectiveness and a structure or process that we might follow. So this is all a work in progress, but I thought it was good to sort of provide a definition of effectiveness, which is what I've done there at the top of the document, and some thoughts on it, which is, you know, once a policy has been implemented, it is necessary to monitor and evaluate the effectiveness of the policy. And I apologize, but it's 5:30 in the morning here, so better than 4 o'clock in the morning, though. There's some steps to determine this effectiveness, so you need to identify the issue, to frame the issue, and I think framing an issue is probably harder, for me at least, than identifying it, and then audit the outcomes and impacts, find measurable results, and there's a variety of ways of, you know, going at that, and I think a big one, number 4, is determine whether the changes in outcomes are a result of the policy. Sometimes we implement a policy, but actually just other either market forces or, you know, other impacts can actually cause different outcomes, but it really was not the policy implemented. And then develop recommendations and good practices. So, and I don't know that I have scroll capability. So these are, those are some of the basic steps. Thank you. And I sort of framed, you know, the next top of the first page and the second page, really sort of how does this relate to the who is? So to identify the issue, the degree to which who is objectives identified by stakeholders have been achieved and the extent to which problems targeted by the first review team have been solved. And then to frame the issue, we could focus on the goals of the first review team's recommendations. That's the suggestion. What problems they were trying to address, ability to implement the policy, and actual results of the policy. So it goes on. I'm sure everybody's read this. But this was really a starting point, in my opinion, for what we might want to do. I know a few people commented in Brussels on it. And so... That's about, I mean, if you read the document, you'll see what I'm recommending that we do. Some of these, not every issue that we look at would we go through and do a sampling or do metrics or monitoring or trend analysis or even determine information gaps. So, you know, we would want to be selective in how in-depth we go on some of the issues, but I think on the compliance issue, for example, you know, we would definitely need to do quite a bit of, quite a few of these steps and really look at the metrics and monitor what's going on and do an in-depth dive into compliance. That would be my opinion. So, that's sort of it. Does anybody have any questions and concerns? Do you feel like this is way off base? You think we could use this to help frame some of our work? And Alan.
Thank you, Susan. I think this is I was going to say a good start, but I don't think that's the right word. If you look at the range of types of things we're going to be considered, you know, the first recommendation I believe was who is should be a strategic issue within ICANN. You know, I'm not sure that much of this applies in that case because we're almost going to look at, you know, is ICANN taking this seriously? And you can answer that in a number of ways, you know, based on the reporting, you know, on reporting structure and how often it's being discussed. Or you could look at the most recent response to the GDPR analysis and say, no, it was taken completely as a non-strategic issue. Otherwise, we wouldn't have you know, not done anything in the last couple of years on the issues associated with that. But it's not going to be analyzed analytically, I think. So I think what we have here is a really good, what becomes a checklist of things that each of the groups responsible for doing some piece of our work, be it reviewing other old recommendations or new pieces of work, have a checklist to say if this is applicable at all, these are the things I want to make sure to do as we're going through the process. So from that perspective, I think it's a really useful document and framework which we can use just to both as a sanity check and as a means of making sure that we're doing a thorough review as we go forward. So I think it's a great start. I think each of the groups is going to have to look at it. And to the extent that we leave out any of the steps, I think we have to be able to justify it, not necessarily paragraphs in the report, but understand why it is we think it's not applicable. But I think it's a great, you know, start to make sure that we are doing a thorough and responsible job as we go forward. So thank you. Anyone else? Anyone want to disagree with me? Stephanie, please go ahead. Stephanie, go ahead, please.
Stephanie, turn to the... Can you hear me now?
We can.
Yes? No?
Yes.
Good. I think it's actually a very good framing tool as well, not just a checklist, because originally... raised the issue of effectiveness, I was actually pointing at failure to identify issues as part of that definition of whether we're effective or not. And, you know, if you sidestep something, you may be able to checklist what you've actually focused on, but the actual sidestepping is being ineffective. So I think it's slightly broader than as you have described and may help us deal with the lack of a strategic focus. Thanks.
Thank you. It's Alan. I'm not sure we're disagreeing. I was calling it a checklist, but to the extent that you now decide you are doing some of it, it becomes the framework under which you're doing it and measuring effectiveness. So I think we're not that particularly far apart. Anyone else? Now, no comments now mean we are accepting it as one of the tools we'll be using in our repertoire to go forward with this program. So, Stephanie, your hand is still up. I don't know. I think it's an old one, though. If no one else has any comments, then I think we thank Susan for her efforts, and we are not asking her to refine it anymore at this point, but we will be using it going forward. And I again pause. Sometimes it takes people a bit of time to get off mute, and we don't seem to have anyone. So we will go on to the next item, and thank you very much, Susan. Next is the subgroups matrix. If we could put it up and... Lisa, do you have anything you want to say about changes or what you have done? And then we can talk a little bit about how we actually move forward and start doing some work.
Sure, Alan. This is Lisa Pfeiffer for the transcript. The matrix that you see in front of you is the same matrix that was displayed during our last plenary call. The two changes that were made here, other than recoloring, are to reflect the two additional volunteers that we had in last week's call. Lily, you've been added to the IDN's activity. If that was not what you intended, you can raise that concern here today. And Carlton had volunteered during last week's call to join the outreach activity, bringing that group to three. So that, with those two changes, we have at least three people on every item and four people on some of the new items. That should be, in the leadership team's opinion, that should be enough for this first pass planning exercise. And our next step then would be to actually go forward and begin first step planning with these groups of people. Back to you, Alan.
Okay, thank you very much. We have, if I've counted properly, 14 groups. We need to talk just a little bit about work methods. Do we want to set up an additional 14 mailing lists? Do we want to simply use our review team mailing list and be diligent about tagging each message to say which section it's in, and we'll need to come up with some short little identifier so that people can choose to ignore them if they're not part of that subgroup. Are we going to want at least a kickoff teleconference for each of them that somehow we have to schedule? I'd like input on how people think they would like to work and what's going to be effective for you. Anyone have any thoughts on this? Just having the matrix sitting there with no one doing any work is not going to help a lot. Catherine, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Hi, everyone. On this, on how we structure the work, I mean, we will talk shortly about this possible framework that we can use for the first pass, so that will help us structure it. But in terms of the administrative issues of how we work as sub-teams, I was wondering whether it would not be, to take Susan's expression that I really liked, boiling an ocean if we set up a separate mailing list for each of the subgroups now for this first pass. I mean, I would think that maybe the subgroups could just organize themselves by normal email, and then we can see how we archive that if it's necessary. And that they agree amongst themselves whether they want to do their work via email or want to have a call every once in a while. I mean, in theory, this first pass shouldn't be that much work, so we should probably make sure that the administrative burden sort of is proportionate to the work that is being done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Catherine. And in between paths, instead of setting up 14 mailing lists, would be to set up one or two, perhaps one for the review of recommendations and one for all of the other issues, and then use some sort of flagging. That keeps the administrative overhead of 14 new mailing lists down, and at the same time segregates it from the regular email traffic associated with the working group. I tend to be just a little bit worried if we set up 14 new mailing lists. Lisa, you've played this game with a number of different working groups over the last number of years. Any thoughts on how we go forward?
And thank you, Alan. This is Lisa. It is not actually that difficult from the back end to set up the mailing lists for you. I think the question that you all wrestle with probably is whether you want to pay attention to seven separate lists or one big list. In my experience, smaller lists do tend to help people focus on the task at hand. We do also probably need to keep significant amount of traffic on list, given that this is a review team and there are some transparency obligations for the team. I hope that helps.
Thank you. That does mean we need, in your mind, would we need to set up shadow lists for observers, or just make them open and let them read the traffic, go actively read the traffic if they wish to? I would assume the latter is sufficient.
And all of the lists are publicly archived, and so
yeah,
observers can watch what's actually on the archive list, yes.
Okay. Any objection going forward then? That means we are talking about, if I counted right, I think there are 9 groups reviewing recommendations and another 5 that are looking at new issues, so we're talking about 14 groups at this point. Then I will ask for an action item for staff to set them all up, try to use as concise tags as possible so that we make them clear that they're subgroups of this review team, but don't use up the whole subject line in the tag. And I would ask if I could be placed on all of the lists just so I can keep an eye on things. Anyone else who wants to be on all of them can also ask. And we will not explicitly set up any conference calls, but if we start getting the need for that, we can either decide that one of these meetings post Abu Dhabi is used for one or two specific groups, or we can try to find times that are acceptable to the members of the group. Anything further on this item? Then I will ask us to go on. We'll go on to the item number 4. We may actually finish this meeting early for once. Item number 4 on scope and objectives. We are getting very close, I think, on this. And Lisa, could you take us through whatever we need to know about this? What has effectively changed and what should people pay attention to? I think we are getting very close to the point where everyone on the review team needs to do a full read-through, and we need to sign off on this. But if you could take us through where we are right now and see if we're at that stage or we still need one more pass. Lisa, over to you.
Thanks. This is Lisa again. The changes that were applied to this document were the ones, excuse me, discussed during our last plenary call. So there was some refinement to the bottom 2 rows of the first page, the 2 items on consumer trust and safeguarding registrants data. There was a request to remove the clause about legitimate needs for in both of those, and so that change was applied. The most significant change to the table is actually on the second page, and I believe you all have scroll control. But on the second page, there are two changes you see redlined here, and that is to do with the objective regarding the OECD, as well as the objective regarding a potential new objective regarding to reviewing ICANN's bylaw section related to this particular review. The new text that you see there redlined came from the result of the action items assigned in our last plenary call. The first item on OECD is text provided by Alan, and Alan, I probably should let you speak to your own suggested text. The additional text on the bylaws at the bottom of this page, again, was a new objective, and for that, I provided some framing to Alan with respect to where in the bylaws the mandate is for review teams to actually look at the bylaws section pertaining to their review and either recommend deletion or amendment of that section. Again, Alan, I'll let you speak to the substance of that objective.
Okay, thank you very much. On the OECD one, the discussion last time focused around the fact that there are ongoing activities, both the PDP and the ICANN's reaction, I guess is the best word, to GDPR issues, and that it would be inappropriate for us to try to figure out what the relevance of OECD is in light of the fact that, number one, the world has changed around us since those guidelines were published, it's something that is in motion, and since as a review team, we may well comment in the report. The world is changing quickly, and by the time we issue a report, there may well be something to comment about ICANN's actions or lack of actions associated with privacy and transporter border flow, but it's certainly not a detailed review of the situation in relation to it. So I try to capture that here, that there are ongoing activities, and it is therefore not something that we choose to spend time and effort on, since it is a very much a moving target as we're going forward. On the part that we may well recommend changes to the bylaws with relation to this review, I think it just captures it. Susan, there's one minor error in B. You said include any recommendation amendments, recommended amendments, and it should be additions because amendments is already caught in A. I think you just typed the wrong word there. So A is covering amendment or removal, and B is covering any new additions that we believe are needed. Other than that, I don't think there's a lot to be said. I think we're at the point, given that one change, where we want to sign off from the review team. So I would ask people, given that we're not reading them out to you today, but if everyone can take a little bit of time, and so by the time we get to, let's say, get to Abu Dhabi or the end of next week, that we are in a position to say, yes, our scope is now effectively frozen, barring any major changes going forward that we feel we have to reopen it. And we can close off that section of the terms of reference, which is one of our major to-dos. And I see Lisa, is that a new hand or an old hand?
It is a new hand. Thank you, Alan. This is Lisa again. Alan, you're actually reading the bylaws objective slightly differently than I had intended. Item A was to identify amendments or removals, and item B was to include those changes in the review report along with rationale.
Well, shouldn't it be anything that needs to be amended, removed, or added?
probably. I'm just trying to be a little more succinct.
I should learn to not. I should learn to not doubt you, Lisa. Yes, I did not note the subtle difference between A and B. I was reading it as A talking about changes and B new additions. So thank you. Yes. So I think we need to still add additions, but in a different place, or some other wording that you feel covers it. Anything else? I see we have Chris has joined us. Thank you very much. And any further comments on the scope? We have spent a lot of time on this. I think it's in pretty good shape. It is also a pretty daunting workload that we're giving ourselves. So this is one last chance to make sure that not only do we feel we're covering everything, but we can actually do everything. And Chris, I will ask you, I'll put you on the spot. Is there anything in here which waves red flags that you think might cause the board to wave red flags? Given our experience with SSR, we now know the board actually reads this.
Yeah, bizarre, huh?
It is.
Look, not that immediately springs to mind, Alan. No, but that said, it's the board, so you know. The others may have a different view. I can't. I mean, everything seems to be pretty well laid out, and there's nothing that I would go into the board with. I don't think.
That's a problem. I mean, we can't ask for a guarantee. It's just you're here to share your wisdom, as it were.
Correct.
And the real issues are of the items we are choosing not to look at. Does that wave any red flags, or are we being over ambitious on any of the other ones?
Yes.
I think we're being a bit over ambitious.
I think being massively over ambitious, but that's not the point. I mean, the board's not going to come back to you and say, "Gosh, you're being ambitious." We'll keep that to ourselves and snigger quietly behind our hands as we watch you try and deal with it all. Except I won't, of course, because I'll be dealing with it all with you. But no, I don't think so. I think it is ambitious, but I don't think. I mean, the way everything is cast is okay. The real proof of the pudding is in essence is how we actually come to deal with it. There's a lot of stuff in that scope where we have said, look, we're putting it in because we need to, but we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. And I will be interested to see whether we stick with that.
Mm-hmm. I think we actually removed most of those phrases. Those we all transformed into, we're not going to do them, I think.
Yeah, I still thought there were still a few left, but anyway.
There may well be. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you don't feel uncomfortable. You don't feel uncomfortable at this point. Okay.
Not at this point, no.
Thank you. Are we getting you to volunteer for any of the issues, though?
I don't know. No one's asking.
I do see your name on three of them. Good.
Well, then
Catherine.
I obviously haven't read it properly. I shall reread it.
You want to look at that matrix where there are bright yellow A's with your name?
I missed that bit of the cool. Yeah.
Catherine? Unless that was an old hand. You are muted.
There we go. I hit star 6. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
I hit star 6, and instead of putting me on speaker, it gave me a break from you all for 20 seconds. So sorry about that. But now I can talk. I just wanted to say that in view of the legal advice that ICANN has published yesterday, it would just be interesting to see whether there will be any immediate steps taken now after Abu Dhabi. And I think that's one thing we should keep in mind as we finalize the scope, that especially for the part on any new things happening, if the who is in fact does turn out to be a moving target between now and May, then that might change things a bit.
Yeah, thank you. The analysis is quite interesting. The blog entry is also interesting. There's a comment about three-quarters of the way through it, which says, and I won't quote verbatim, but it actually says, it is now clear that who is as we know it today will have to have some changes in it. And I thought that was a rather gentle statement to describe where we are right now. The analysis is
Alan, let me just, Alan, just...
Yes, go ahead.
When you've got a second, sorry, I haven't got... I put my hand up in the room, I apologize.
Okay. Anyway, it's... One could say this has been a rude awakening. The part that is not clear is the legal analysis it implies we have to make changes. It does not at all acknowledge that we don't have the tools with which to make the changes that is allow access to some people and not others, other than telling the registrars or ICANN or whoever is going to be custodian of the data that you are going to handle these requests manually. So it frames the question in a way that none of us are surprised at, or frames the way to fix it in a way that none of us are surprised at, but actually how we do that is something altogether different. So it's going to be interesting to watch it unfold.
I actually was surprised in a different direction when I saw the blog post, because when you look at the legal opinion, it makes three main conclusions, right? It says that there is a probability that public interest will not be sufficiently demonstrated to keep it as is. There is a probability that necessity for the performance of a contract is not there. And then it says, to preserve the existing system as it is, a number of changes would need to be put in place in the policy that are unlikely to materialize. But the conclusion that everything has to change in terms of functionality is actually a pretty strong one to draw on the basis of that legal advice. I agree with you, Alan, that's been raised before, but if you look at this legal analysis that they've done, it actually does not support the conclusion in the blog post, in my view. But that's for others to spar over, I guess. But I find it quite interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say the blog post puts a slightly more positive spin on it than I would, but I think the expression "rude awakening" is perhaps apt. Chris, please go ahead.
Yeah, just your comment earlier that there are folks on the Who Is RDS PDP. Who have been up until now of the view that nothing needs to change. So, or if anything does need to change, it's merely implementation and minor. So I think what this advice does is scotch that, in my view. That's the first point. I think the second point I would make is that I do draw a similar conclusion to the blog in the sense that the way I read the advice is, and let's be clear, there's more coming. This is the first of a series of memoranda. But the way I read it is it says consent, even if you have it, leaving aside how complicated and difficult it would be to get, even if you have it, may not be enough. And so the changes that need to be made are not simple. It wouldn't be as straightforward as simply saying, please all do this. It will work. And, of course, what the advice doesn't do is solve the issue of you'll never know anyway until somebody says you're doing it wrong. But that said, I think it's an important step along the way, and I think it's an important message to deliver.
That
we believe that things do need to change.
Thank you. Your last phrase was what I used the term rude awakening for, because there certainly are some parts within ICANN who have believed we could ignore it, and the social redeeming characteristics of who is will be sufficient to justify what we're doing, and this document, and I'll note it's called an analysis, not advice. It makes it quite clear that it is unlikely that we will be allowed to proceed with making no changes whatsoever. And the whole concept of the level of agreement that we need from each of the 150 million users or whatever the right number is, is such, and which can be withdrawn at any point, is such that how we're going to implement that, with given that we have not finished the RDS PDP, is going to be a challenge. But I'm glad it's not our responsibility team.
I'm glad it's not our job to fix. Correct. So let's try and remember that. That will be good. there are plenty of people running around trying to fix it. Let's not do that.
Very good. Catherine, is that a new hand or the old one? Okay. We morphed into a discussion of GDPR, and I think worthwhile given the timing of this new document that was just made available. But I don't think it alters anything in our scope. So I will ask as an action item for all team members to thoroughly review these scope and objectives and confirm. I would like positive acknowledgement from everybody that that you're comfortable with this and we go forward with it. So essentially I'm asking for a consensus call that you agree or that you have can identify what it is that you believe needs to change so we can lock it in and go forward with our real work. And with that, I will go on to the next item of work plan. And I would presume Alice will talk about that briefly. I will, before Alice has a chance, point out that I have several times said I am not comfortable with this document because the level of granularity in it with the dates, some of which are, I think, perhaps unrealistic, makes me feel uncomfortable. And I don't think I have the ability of going in and pointing to which dates I would want to change by how many days. It's just a level of planning that I don't think we have really we're really in a position to commit to. I am told we're supposed to be doing this, but I would like to find out from other people to what extent everyone else is comfortable with this, or is my unrest a characteristic of the group in general. I'm willing to not act on it if everyone else feels comfortable and believes these are reasonable deliverables, but I would like some input on it. And I'll turn it over to Alice.
Hi, Alan. Thank you very much. So related to work plan, what we would like to do today is go through the first pass template. It might ring a bell for some of you, but in Brussels, Catherine made an excellent suggestion that we work on a template that helps you map out the work, especially since you now have different workforces. It'll be important to identify what the next steps will be to get the ball rolling on the work. So maybe I should just ask Catherine to present that document to you, as this is the fruit of Catherine's mind. Catherine?
Thank you. Apparently, it's Alan. Apparently, I got the meaning of this agenda item incorrect. I would like to go back after we finish it and go back to the actual detailed work plan and complete that discussion that I thought we were going to have now. But I am corrected, and we'll go to Catherine.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alan, and thank you, Alice, for all the preparation, because while this might have been my idea, you did most of the implementation. So thanks again. So the idea, just to repeat that from our discussion in Brussels, was that when we now go off into our little sub-teams to make a first estimate of what is needed for the individual items we've now listed in terms of the work we need to do as a team, it seemed to make sense that there is some overarching structure that we all work with. so that we come back with comparable results that can then be slotted into a larger piece of work, both now for this first pass and then later on for the report. And for this, Alice and colleagues have come up with a very solid framework, I believe, that we wanted to submit to you for discussion, and that basically sets out a couple of basic points that would need to be tackled in this first pass. Some are quite formal and include things just as listing the members or the specific objective that is being dealt with, or the workspace URL. And then we've also added a couple that are supposed to basically give an indication of the level of effort that will be needed to work on this particular part of the report, on this particular aspect, and on the type of further planning and analysis that will be needed, including the supporting materials for that. So, for example, what I've suggested here is that we put the objective as we have just seen it again in the work plan in the scope objectives, and then we may add further comments on what we take that to mean and precisely, and then what questions we would need to answer in assessing whether that specific objective has been reached. Then I propose that we just provide a rough estimate of the comparative complexity of the assignment, knowing that we have some assignments, for example, the question of whether annual reporting has been done or not. That should be quite simple to answer, where I would suppose the complexity would be something like a 1. And then we have other issues that might be much more difficult to assess, such as, for example, our compliance topic, which might be closer to a 5. And then in relation to that complexity, there might also be a definite variance in workload that's associated with a particular point, so that might also be useful to assess. And then based on that, we might already make a recommendation of how many people should be working on a given topic so that we can distribute workload more or less in a balanced manner. And then on the second page of this, you will see below the timeline that there's a box for resources, and that basically invites the sub-team members to identify where they would get the information necessary for the actual analysis of that point. So would we request further briefings? Would we request further materials? Are there, for example, interviews to be conducted with members of the former group, with other experts, with ICANN staff on specific issues? Or do we even need to commission an independent study or ask an independent expert a number of questions? And then there's also a box on other resources that we might draw upon. For example, for compliance, we could look at existing abuse feeds and see how those relate to compliance action and that type of thing. So not necessarily ICANN own documents, but rather documents that might come from elsewhere and help illuminate the issue at hand without the need to commission a specific analysis for the purposes of our team. So that was the first rough idea that we wanted to put before you for your review and feedback. And the idea is really to provide a first framework that will help us all achieve comparable results when we go off to do this first pass assessment of the different topics. And so it's really for you as a tool to help us all provide useful input to one another. So I would be really grateful for your critical review and for suggestions for improvements, especially to those of you who have done this type of work before, because I think our output will be all the better if we have a good matrix to work with. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. I've put my hand up, but if anyone else would like to speak first, then please. Well, while we're waiting for other hands, a couple of things. I'm, again, and it's something similar to what I said for the discussion on effectiveness. I think we have such a wide range of things we're looking at that all of these points may be applicable to some and not to others. And I'm hoping, but that this may be wishful dreaming, that although this is a first pass for at least some of these items, it's going to be close enough to the whole work that we can try to come close to tying the job up and reduce the overall number of items somewhat as we go forward. So as we're doing it, to the extent that we rate this as not one of the more complex tasks, and that's among the questions that we're asking on the first page, that it may well be possible that the group doing this first pass feels that we can tie it up and not have to revisit it to a great extent, other than perhaps wordsmithing of the report sections. And that will likely apply to ones that don't have follow-on recommendations. So as people are doing the work, I think we have to keep an eye out for, is this one of the ones that we can do a fast path towards the end point?
Yes.
Other than that, again, I think it's a great framework on which we can work. And as we go through it, we'll no doubt, you know, find that maybe it needs some tweaking or decide how to decide whether each section is applicable. The only other issue I'll raise is there's a question on the second page on the need for independent expert. And I'll point out that although we do have a budget which is designed to factor in independent work, we're not in a position to have commissioned 5 different studies. So we are going to have to be selective once we start gathering all of these analyses together and decide, is there anything that needs expert help or commission an expert study, but understand that we will not be able to do, you know, one for each of 6 tasks, and therefore we're going to have to decide where to put our resources for most effective use.
Indeed, and Alan, if I can just come back, this is Catherine, on the point.
Please.
On the easier tasks, indeed, and that's why it's really excellent that we already have a structure for the subgroup reports that I think we're going to discuss in a minute as well, because for those items that are fairly straightforward, where it's actually quicker to do the subgroup report than to fill in this first pass estimate of, you know, what needs to be done still, that would be a really helpful tool, because then you can just go to that and say, okay, we did the work, the annual report was published, or, you know, there is one single website summarizing WHO's policy, and these are the remaining issues, but, you know, then that could already be some items that are checked off indeed.
Yeah, thank you. Correct. I think some of these will end up being interesting in that there may not be a lot of work to be done, but there does need to be discussion of the review team. And one of the ones you mentioned, you know, the single website or the single policy document, you know, the recommendation said create a single policy document. ICANN chose to do it in a different way. The question is that acceptable or not, or do we need a follow-on recommendation? I noticed ICANN just yesterday published a report saying all the recommendations for the WHOIS review have now been fully implemented. Well, we're here to pass judgment on that and whether we agree or not. But some of those, I think, are going to be very subjective, and I think we're going to need not just the subgroup weighing in, but the whole review team weighing in on what was done sufficient, or do we indeed need to follow on to it? Anyone else have any more comments on this?
Just on this last one, it's Catherine again. I mean, my understanding all along was that once we have a subgroup report, that is a sort of recommendation to the group as a whole, and that any of those would then still be subject to discussion with the group as a whole, including review of the recommendation that the subgroup may have put forward. Because I fully agree with you, Alan. I think there does need to be a substantive discussion on a number of these points, even if they may seem straightforward at the outset.
Yeah, we seem to be straining to get substantive discussion in this group. And I'm not quite sure if the only way to do it is with a face-to-face meeting to make sure we can go around the table and actually get people to speak. I'm a little bit worried about everyone passively agreeing, which means we're not 100% sure if they're really even at their computer right now or simply logged on and walked away to have breakfast or lunch.
But if people think they want to take some more time to comment on this document, which was just sent around very, very short while ago, And I'm sorry, that's partially because I was not in a position to provide comments earlier. Maybe people could just briefly signal if they want to have a couple more days to look at this, and then we sort of take a vote on this template next time around, or whether everybody is happy as is and was fine reviewing it for this short period of time.
I'll note in the chat various people are saying they're actually here listening, so thank you for that. Stephanie has reminded us that we can count on her to be difficult if indeed she disagrees with something. I hope we can count on everyone to be difficult if they disagree with something. So thank you. I'll take this as a confirmation that you're all actually on the meeting and don't have little robots signing on your behalf. Or at least if you do, you have ones that know how to type into the chat. anything further on this document? Can we talk a little bit about the detailed work plan with the timing on it? If it's possible to put that in the in Adobe Connect, I would appreciate that. Just for clarity, this new document is called Work Statement and Work Plan. I think the other one is just called the Work Plan. Alice, go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, Alan. Sorry, I was going to ask you. Do you want to run through the subgroup report template real quick before we move on to the work plan?
All right.
Since
sure.
Catherine touched on it. Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Great. Jean-Baptiste, could you project the subgroup report template? Thank you so much. All right. So this is one of the templates we flagged in Brussels as a resource to help you shape your work, if you will. So now that you've established several workforces, we think it's important at this juncture to set a roadmap as well as guidelines of what is expected in terms of desired outcome. And as Catherine indicated, this is somewhat married to the first pass template, the planning template, as it follows the footstep of the planning stage. If you scroll through the document, you'll see this gel includes a number of questions that seek to frame the substance needed and also establishes the sequence of events leading up to a recommendation. So the questions also are useful checklists to ensure the recommendations that you will produce are comply with the SMART objectives, the SMART goals, SMART being specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound, and also to make sure that the recommendations are underpinned with a solid rationale. So in addition, this template will also help ensure you have some consistency across your different workforces and you're working towards common goals. So this obviously is a draft as a, you know, recommendation for your consideration. We're happy to edit or augment it as needed based on your input, and we look forward to any thoughts you may have on how we can improve this. Thanks.
Comment, input? Everyone's happy with it? Or we haven't looked at it yet. All right. I'm gathering we have no input at this. Again, the default action item, I don't think we need to record an action item, but please, as these documents come out, if you have a problem on them, then please make it clear. Otherwise, we're going to presume they are accepted as items that we will be using as part of our methodology. All right. I think the next item finally is the one that I thought we were starting with.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. So no changes to the work plan since last week. We still have November 24th as the anticipated completion date for the delivery of the work plan in terms of reference to the ICANN board. And I know there was an action item of some sort for the review team to read the work plan in detail to see if there is any, concern with what is being suggested. So I'll turn it over to the to the review team here and flag any concerns or objections they may have.
And I'm not, okay, is it possible to display it just so we make sure everyone knows which document we're talking about? I don't want to review it line by line, but.
I think Jean-Baptiste can make that happen.
Okay, we'll give him 30 seconds. And there we are. Thank you very much. Okay, this is the document that I expressed some level of concern that we are effectively making a commitment to follow the schedule, at least as a first pass. Now, this is, if I understand correctly, this is not part of the terms of reference, but it is the document that is essentially trying to guide us. And either we feel comfortable with it as a group, we feel uncomfortable but don't care if we, you know, if it's accurate or not, or we need to do something about it. And I guess I'd like some input. I don't feel comfortable saying we're just going to ignore it, and at the same time I don't have a high degree of confidence that we as a group have put a lot of thought into these dates and have a high level of comfort. So is it just me, or is it or is there a general feeling? If it's just me, I'm willing to put my discomfort to the side and not worry about it. But I'm assuming if other people are comfortable, they have looked at this and feel comfortable that these are realistic dates. And hearing nothing, and you've all demonstrated that you are here today, I'm assuming that is a level of comfort that I'm the only one, and I will not mention it again. Is that accurate? Hearing complete silence.
Alan, it's Chris.
It's Chris. Oh, good. A voice.
Hello. Can you just be – yes, a voice rather than typing. Can you just – I'm sorry to be boring, but can you, what actually is your issue? Is it just that you think it's too much? I mean, what?
I think that the detailed planning saying we'll do this by October 3rd and this by November, aside from the fact that some of these things are perhaps out of date already, I just don't feel comfortable that we've really thought about this. Alice has obviously put a huge amount of effort into creating this, and I'm sure she has done her best effort. I'm not convinced that the review team has put that level of effort and comfort into it, and therefore,
as the chair, do I
feel comfortable saying we're actually going to do this or not, or is it just a figment of Alice's imagination? That's my level of discomfort.
Is it the actual dates? Is it the concept of dates at all, or is it the layout? Is it that you think the dates themselves are problematic, and that any dates would be problematic, or just that these dates are problematic?
I think they're problematic in that we haven't actually thought through them and are just accepting the document with the majority of people not actually having looked at the details and say, yeah, I think that is reasonable.
So what would you say, given your choice, what would you have us do?
I guess I'd like everyone to acknowledge, at least some people, that they have gone through it and they do have a level of comfort. And I haven't heard that. Maybe
okay.
It's just silence presumes agreement. I've given people, at least the ones on this call, plenty of opportunity to speak up. No one has spoken up, so I'm going to assume that it is just the level of discomfort I have about this level of detailed planning without discussion, and assume
okay.
it's my problem, and I'll live with it.
Fair
if
enough.
Everyone else feels comfortable, then so be it.
Well, Stephanie's just posted in the chat. I would say that some of the dates are heroic.
and doubt
I mean, the real question is whether we... Are we going to consider, I mean, if we, I suppose my question to you, Alan, would be this. I view this as a set of loose targets, goals, what have you, that if we don't meet them, I'm not going to get particularly fussed about unless we are systemically not meeting anything and therefore unlikely to meet our end goal. One argument is that, well, then what's the point having in the first place? And I think the answer is some of us, and I hold myself as one of these, are completely crap at doing anything unless we've got a deadline. So deadlines themselves are useful. But if your concern is that these are going to be seen to be real hard or semi-hard anyway, deadlines, and that's not going to work for that reason, then that's the issue rather than the date, isn't it?
I guess you're close. The level of discomfort is not that the sky will fall because we don't meet a deadline. It's that I'm not convinced that the overall time flow is something we're going to meet, and I would like to have earlier warnings than later. But at this point, I have not heard a lot of comments of other people who have a level of discomfort. It is not something that we are committing to give away our firstborn if we don't meet it, so I'm willing to live with it. And if we start seeing dates that are slipping as we're going forward, we will revise it. So I think I've had my piece.
And Alan, if I may, obviously this is not a document that is set in stone. We can update it as you progress through work. And, you know, our duty here as well is to flag any, you know, if you're reaching an anticipated completion date and you're nowhere near there, obviously we're going to flag any concerns with the work plan and so on. So you can rely on us to flag any issues.
Thank you. I have no further items on this one, and that is the last significant item, substantive item on our agenda, other than confirm action items and decisions. So if we can go to that, please. I assume Jean-Baptiste.
Yes, sorry, Alan. I was trying to unshare my screen and I couldn't see the action items, so that was not really helpful. So on the action items that were identified today, so we have the statement of interest that all RIVTI members who have not sent it yet need to return by Monday, 23rd of October. ICANOG will send a reminder to return these forms by Tuesday, 24th of October. And then on the subgroups matrix, so ICANOG will set concise mailing lists for each subgroup and add you, Alan, on each mailing list. On the scope and objectives document, RIVTI members will review these items and confirm by the end of next week that the scope discussion can be considered frozen, between brackets adopted. And in terms of decisions reached, so the effectiveness framework presented by SUN today is adopted and will be used moving forward.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any other business?
Hi, Alan. This is Alice. Since we have time on the call, would it be helpful to start a discussion on what you'd like to discuss in Abu Dhabi at the informal session that we have planned for October 1st?
Given that they are informal sessions and there will not be remote participation, I don't think we want to discuss anything, you know, that results in decisions, but I would like to have people prepared at that point to discuss how they feel this going and whether we need to make changes in our overall work methodology, including things like meeting, weekly meetings, length of meetings. I'm suspecting by the fact that we have a number of people not showing up and not giving, not even giving apologies, that the weekly meeting of an hour and a half may be coming onerous on some people. And we may want to rethink doing, you know, perhaps longer meetings, but every 2 weeks or something like that. So I think just an overall discussion of how things are going and how we move forward with this as opposed to formal decisions. Lisa, please go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. This is Lisa for the transcript. Just a suggestion. As Catherine presented a tool for the first phase planning earlier in today's call, and we have a little over a week before the informal session in Abu Dhabi, one thing that might be useful is for those who will be present at the informal session to actually try to use the tool, looking at maybe just one of the tasks that they volunteered to join and see if there are any adjustments or changes that they'd recommend based on trying to use it. The informal session might be a good time to brainstorm about any, you know, shortfalls or questions about how to fill out the framework that Catherine presented. And that will move us towards the next phase of our work.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. That's a fine suggestion, and we can ask anyone who will be there to do that. And, of course, anyone who won't be there but chooses to do it and send us something electronically, we can easily put that on the table as well. Hearing nothing else, I will call this meeting to a close. Thank you all for your participation. And we'll see you, some of you in Abu Dhabi, and otherwise we'll meet again in, when is our first meeting after Abu Dhabi? I am guessing it will be on the 9th of November. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. We have not set the formal time of that, but I will, I or staff will send out something suggesting which time. We have a little bit more flexibility moving forward, and we'll perhaps suggest one or two suggestions and do a doodle poll for which people feel more comfortable with. Because with the time zone changes, the window of convenient meetings opens up just a little bit. Any further words before we adjourn? Then thank you all for your participation, and we'll see you here and there as we go forward. Thank you.